Hi, everyone, and welcome to Focus Forward, an executive function podcast where we explore the challenges and celebrate the wins you'll experience as you change your life through working on improving your executive function skills. I'm your host, Hannah Choi. I am so happy to be able to bring this conversation to you today. My guest is Lizette Cuervo, a first-generation Cuban-American, an executive function specialist, and a co-founder of the nonprofit Circle Match. I first connected with Lizette over LinkedIn, and then we got to meet in person when she attended my presentation on college students and executive functioning at our local public library. Lizette is such a fantastic person doing such important work that I knew I had to have her on the show. As you'll hear, Lizette's personal journey through life has moments of discouragement and frustration that many of you may relate to, either directly or in your own way. And her experiences are also deeply inspiring. I know I was very moved by her story. From being told by her high school counselor that she wasn't smart enough for college, to later discovering a love of learning and receiving a life-changing ADHD diagnosis in adulthood, Lizette has used her experiences and this deep love of learning to create a future for herself, her son, and others that is full of hope and opportunity. In this conversation, you'll hear about how Lizette's own academic struggles lit the spark, for Chispa, a company she started that helps adults and students strengthen their executive function skills and conquer their challenges, and how Circle Match, a nonprofit she started with her son Michael, opens doors to Ivy League and other top-tier colleges by offering free college admissions advising and executive function support for students and their families who have historically been left out of those spaces. Lizette is living proof of what happens when young people are not only given access and knowledge, but also a place to belong. This is a story about overcoming shame, challenging broken systems, being brave enough to do things differently, and creating something better for the next generation. I can't wait for you to hear it. Let's get on with the show. Lizette, thank you so much for joining me on Focus Forward. I'm so happy to have you here. Would you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hi, I'm super excited to be here. I am a big fan. Love to listen to your podcast and your soothing voice.
Thank you.
So my name is Lizette Cuervo, and I am a first-generation Cuban-American. I am that really informs my approach. I am an executive function specialist. I have a company named Chispa, which means spark in Spanish. And I also co-founded a nonprofit called Circle Match. It's an educational nonprofit, and it helps students from underrepresented communities gain access to elite colleges. So a lot going on. I am, you know, doing a million things, but I enjoy all of it.
I love it. So tell me from the beginning how you got to Circle Match and how you got to Chispa.
Okay, well, I was born many, many years ago when the dinosaurs roamed. And that would be 1971.
Okay, so not that long ago.
Let me back up. Like about 1969, my parents came from Cuba, and I was born 2 years later. Okay, and you can imagine how difficult that was, being born in a place that my parents really couldn't navigate because they never spoke English, and they just had to like kind of go to work because they came here without anything. So that's how my life started in 1971. Years later, I've always grown up in New Jersey, went to school here, elementary school, fast forward, got to high school, always had a little bit of trouble with school, with academics. I was kind of signing my own report cards at fifth grade. Whenever I would get an F, I tell my parents it was for fantastic. I love school. I just couldn't focus on school. Okay. And well, when I got to high school, I was super excited to go to college because you can imagine going to a place that was going to have a lot of trees, just kind of being free from my parents, being able to kind of hang out all the time. So I went to see my guidance counselor and I was like, Mr. Gapoyan, I am so excited to go to college. You need to help me. And so what he did was that he took out his cigar and he smoked his cigar as he told me that I was just absolutely beautiful and that I should marry rich, that I should not even think about going to college because I just wasn't smart enough. And he said he couldn't help me, that there's nothing
Oh.
to do for me. So I thought that was a compliment. I went home. I was like, Dad, guess what? I am not going to college. My guidance counselor said I can actually just marry rich. And he almost had a stroke. He was like, no. What do you mean? You have to go to college. And I was like, but Dad, I don't know. He's like, okay, that's it. You're signing up. Either you're going to sign up for a community college or you're going to work on our local like street called Bergenline Avenue, where they used to like sell shoes and clothes and all that stuff. So I opted to go to college. So when I got there, I learned that I love school. I learned that every time the bell would ring when I was in high school, every 40 minutes, how distracting that was, didn't exist in college. And so, I mean, I had bagels for the first time, right?
Oh.
It was like so exciting. I got to like, go to class and be there for like an hour and 20 minutes in each class and learn different subjects like sociology and psychology. And I really thrived in college, right? But I never really had, I want to say, a game plan. I never really had these big goals. I just kind of went so I wouldn't have to go to work. But I know I liked it. After I was there for a little while, I said, let me transfer to a four-year college because I was kind of embarrassed to be in a community college. I didn't even know what that meant, but I figured I didn't even really take an SAT, an SAT to get in. So I transferred over to Rutgers, still never having visited the school. I just went because I liked the name. I figured it was a good school, a state school, and I applied and they took me, right? So I went like that. I journeyed through life and I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what it was, right? I was always super excited and I get along with everybody. Sometimes I felt like I overshared too much. Sometimes I felt like my memory really wasn't there. Like I'd memorize everything for a test, but I wouldn't remember anything like after I had lunch. And just like bad study habits. And I don't know. I don't know. Things just kind of didn't like match up. And I didn't realize that I had executive function challenges or even that I might possibly have ADHD, right? And so something like ADHD was kind of like a taboo in like a Cuban household where I grew up, right? So whenever I was like, oh, I can't concentrate, I can't do this, I can't do that, or I even kind of, heard about ADHD in college, my parents were like, ADHD? No. That's discipline. That's discipline. You just like haven't really studied. You haven't really tried hard. And so that was difficult to navigate, right? Just so I never even really thought about even going down that rabbit hole to figure out if there was something kind of like in the foundation of like where I was going and in my process. So I really worked really hard kind of navigating ping-ponging between experiences, but always staying very enthusiastic. And as time went on, I wasn't diagnosed until adulthood. And for years, I thought things like time management and organization were like personality traits, right? You were either organized, that kind of a person, or you weren't. And you were born that way. I didn't think it was something that you can work on. And so, I went on, and I wound up graduating from Rutgers, got my degree in political science. I thought I was going to go to law school because I used to watch all these television shows like LA Law, and I
Oh,
just loved
yeah.
everybody wore, and I wanted to dress like that. So I decided I was going to be a lawyer,
I love
never
it.
having thinking about doing an internship or like reading a book on law. Not a thing. I just like the outfits. I wound up being a lawyer. I wound up getting married. Then I had my son, Michael. And I always knew I wanted to help Michael the day that he was like going to kindergarten, just going to school, that I didn't want him to kind of go through what I went through. Right. So even from when he was first born, I read books to him like Good Night Moon and just like really was very invested in his education. And so, as you would have it, sometimes history repeats itself. And I graduated from high school in 1989. Years later, 30 years later, in 2019, my son, it's time for him to graduate, right? So, 2018, he's a junior. He's in high school, the same high school that I went to, the same place where my counselor said to me, forget college. But here was my son. I said, super intelligent, valedictorian of his class. And he's like, Mom, I want to go to an elite college. I want to go. And you got to help me. And so I was at them at the time. I was a teacher. I got into education and I was actually teaching within the school district. Okay. So it was my dream to go back and teach and just to like help little kids. And I felt great. I was a special education teacher. Right. And I said, Michael, I promise you that if you were, really keep up your grades and you'd be a great student, that I'd help you apply to college. But Michael, I have no idea how to do this. So we hired an outside college advising agency that cost a lot of money. Everybody thought I was crazy because within my community, people don't do that. Like they don't even know that that exists. But I said, listen, this hurt me so much, like my whole life thinking that I could have been, not that school defines you, but it's something intrinsically I had in my heart that I really like wanted to go to school, to like a good school. I just didn't know how, right? And I was like, here's my kid, he's so smart. And this is like, I'd rather instead of going on vacation or going out for like expensive dinners, I saved all my money so that I can get him some college advising. And so they gave him 15 hours of college advising. So in those 15 hours, they basically gave him a lot of like, do this, do that, do this, do that. Like enter in your the extracurriculars that you took, enter in the colleges that you might want to apply to, your grades, so they can kind of establish a baseline of what his target schools are and his reach schools and everything. And long story short, he was accepted to four Ivy League colleges, right? He was accepted to Cornell University, Columbia, Brown, and Yale, right? And I remember hearing those acceptances and just crying and being so happy and so proud. And so it was great. He was great, super happy. Had been years, so many years since someone from his school district had been accepted to a school like that. As a matter of fact, they called him the miracle of West New York, and they even gave him a nation. Yeah, it was a big deal. So you can imagine how happy. But like 2 weeks later, he was so sad. I was like, dude, are you kidding me? What's happening? I mean, I wanted to go out and just like get myself a bunch of hats and walk around town. I was so happy. I mean, I felt great. And he was like, Mom, I'm really happy that I got into this school, but I'm really sad that I don't have a community there and that I don't know anybody there. Because we've always been really into community service and just helping out a lot. And he would do like volunteer tax preparation for VITA. And I was like, would journey with like different pantries and everything. And so it really, I said, I understand. He's like, I don't get it, how the student that's second in my class or third in my class is going to a state school. Right? Like, and they worked so hard and their grades were so close to mine. And it's because of the college advising. And so I said, well, if you don't have a community, what do you got to do? And we both decided you got to make a
Make
community.
one.
Yeah. And so what he did was he went back to his school while he was still a senior, a couple of weeks after he got accepted to Yale that he decided to go to. And he formed, at the time it was called TCAT, but now it's called Circle Match. And so he started by advising two students, helping them with their essays and explaining to them how the whole process goes.
So
And
cool.
that was 2019. And then it was difficult because that's like around when COVID was getting ready to happen, and people went and they had to have the lockdowns and learn from home. But even through the whole COVID, that we were able to do that. And so the whole mission of Circle Match is helping underrepresented students gain access to elite colleges, right? And the whole thing that makes it so beautiful is that we help the students, and once the students go through the program, they then become advisors
That's really cool.
and they pay it forward through near peer advising.
I love
And
it.
so I love, like, in the executive function space with metacognition, which is such a huge executive function skill that you can, I kind of like compare it to like a bird on a wire, right? Able to like look down and reflect and really learn that, hey, as an advisor, I was that student last year. Look how much I've come, because we call our students our littles, right? So you're just a year older and look at your little and how like they're so immature, right? They don't answer text messages, they don't answer emails, they don't edit essays when they need to. And then these advisors look to me like, could you believe it, Lizette? I'm like, oh, I can't believe it. Meanwhile, I want to say to them, you tortured me 9 months ago.
Look how much you've grown.
Look how much you've grown. And so then the great thing is that we build this community, right? I'm the director of community of the program. And we build this community that while the students are in college, they're also still very connected to their
That's
community. Because
really
every
cool.
week they speak to students in their cohort and they lead them, they guide them, they follow a specific curriculum we created. They have hometowns and everybody shares their story. Really cool stuff. We have cookie bakes when they have breaks from school. We're having a retreat like at the end of this month, and everything is like trust building activities. It's really beautiful. And
I
so
love
what
it.
happens is that as years go on, all these students now they're looking forward to our program. And they're like, hey, when is Circle Match going to give like their info session? I want to apply. Right? I want to see if I can get in. Now we've developed this college-going culture in the schools.
Which
And
trickles down and earlier, and then every like generation that you graduate, like every year that
yep.
graduates, strengthens it. And, oh, I love that.
100%.
And their
And
siblings and cousins and
their siblings, their cousins,
oh.
and they're very happy, you know, doing that.
That's
So
really cool.
that's Circle Match, right? And that was founded in 2019. And then about, I want to say 2023, one day I just kind of quit my job.
Love it.
You want to know how I quit? This is crazy.
Yeah, I want to know.
So I said, you know
Wait,
what?
what were you doing? Were you still teaching at this point?
I was teaching, I was a special ed teacher, but we had just gone back to kind of being in person. I was there for like a year in person, and things just weren't the same, right? I love the kids, but I was so bored with all of the paperwork all of the time. And you know, they say the loneliness epidemic that after COVID happened, everybody just kind of felt so alone in their house. And so I started thinking and thinking, I'm like, man, there's something wrong. I can't focus and concentrate. Like, not even I used to be so great before, but now I really can't focus and concentrate. And so I started seeing a therapist, and she said to me, you know, maybe she wanted to break it to me gently. You ever heard of ADHD? I was like, oh yeah. I know people that have that. And she's like, maybe, why don't you read this book? And I was like, yeah, I'll read this book. And I read this book by Gabor Mate called, what is it? Scattered Minds. Okay.
I haven't
So,
read that one yet, but
oh
I
my.
love Gabor Mate's writing, yeah.
Well, let me tell you, I was listening to this and I was like walking my dog. I must have walked the dog like four towns over. I was like, oh my God, that's me. That's me. And after I listened to the book, I got in touch with a psychiatrist. She evaluated me a couple of different, you know, sessions, and she determined that I, in fact, had ADHD. And so, you know, that hit me in many different ways, right? I still get a little emotional thinking about it, right?
Yeah, I
Because
get it.
it's hard to navigate.
Yeah, it is.
But I had a lot of answers. Right, that I wasn't like stupid, you know. So it was a lot, right? But I started connecting the dots, and so I was like, oh my God, scattered. I only thought of the word ketchup when I thought of scattered. I'm like, ketchup, scattered. I'm all over the place. What am I gonna do? So then what I did was, I still didn't know anything about executive function skills. Okay, all right. So I was like, scattered. I went on the internet Googling scattered, scattered, scattered. And I found a series of books by this lady, Peg Dawson.
Peg Dawson.
Smart but scattered. I was like, esa es la mujer que yo tengo que conocer. Peg Dawson, that's the lady. I stalked this lady till I found her. She
Yeah.
was doing some workshop in Maine. Let me tell you, there are not many Cubans that go to Maine to like learn executive function. I think that thank God she didn't put herself on the witness protection program after she met me. I was like, I read seven of her books. I
I
was
believe
obsessed.
it. Yeah, she's so
Because,
good.
oh my God, because what happens is that, when you learn about executive function skills, you realize that you just don't have the skill set. Like, time management's a thing. Look, I have my timer in front of me. I even have a timer in my shower.
Nice.
Like a waterproof one. Like, I just,
Yeah,
like,
that's
it's my
great.
life. And so knowing that I can do things to make my life better, right? I can organize. I'm like, oh my God, there's something called transition time. Oh my God, I have to like segment a task. Really? Like all these things. And I have like processes. So anyway, I fell in love with executive function. It became my life. So like it's really funny. Like my family started making fun of me. They're like, oh yeah, Lisa, executive function. Everything is executive function. So like everything I'm doing, like if I'm cooking, it's like you're doing executive function with everything. But it sounds silly, but it really changed my life.
It's my not I'm laughing so hard because I could be you saying the same thing right now.
Yeah. Yeah, like I changed my life. So then in the meantime, here we are, circle match is going, it's going great. The students are getting into these colleges. But what's happening when I want to do community programming and I'm texting like 15 students, like a day goes by, 2 days go by, and I don't get a message back. And then I feel like I'm stalking them. And then like I could never really make any sort of like a program because nobody calls me back. Because they look at their text message and then they're like, they're not trying to be a criminal or anything, but they don't have at that moment, they're like, oh, I'll do it later. But then they get 94 other messages and they forget about me.
No
And
strategy. No
yeah,
strategies to manage it.
right, no strategies. And I'm like, wait a minute, what if I marry executive function, chispa, right, and circle match? And
Beautiful.
so yeah, and so I then developed this program that I'm able to help them. Well, my tagline, we spark skills. I'm able to help them through webinars, right, through like meetings, and I make the things fun. Like about a month ago, I had a big meeting with the parents from California, from New Jersey, from New York, and we spoke about best practices on how to really help the students navigate home so when they get to college, they're not lost, right? Because a lot of these parents are so nervous that their kids are going to go to college and they have to do their laundry, they have to get their food ready, they have to do their homework, maybe go to office hours. So that meeting went really well. And so now even the parents, I realize they need executive function skills. Because if like I had recently, last Saturday, I had a potluck and I had everybody bring something, but the meeting is at 6 o'clock. And when they come, I said, bring a little something. We're going to have maybe 20 people, but everybody's going to bring a little something. These people brought a Thanksgiving feast I could have eaten for the next 2 weeks. I didn't want to hurt their feelings, but I'm like, you don't have to bring for 94 people. Like, just like bring a little bit, right?
We'll put it all
But this,
together.
we put it all together. And then some people got there late. Some people got there like early. And some people, like, it was over at 8. They wanted to like stay and stay and stay. It's like, no, it's over at 8. So they need it as well. Like they don't even know what a syllabus is, right? They don't understand, like, and when they ask their kid, hey, we want to plan a vacation, you're gonna when are you off? So the student may say, okay, I'm done, let's say May 15th. But they may have an internship that they're gonna do. But they forget to tell their parents that. And so everybody's confused, no one has a system. So, and like I said earlier, within a Spanish culture, it's really difficult to do this because we just, it's, there are many cultural nuances that are very different, like cutting somebody off when they're talking, you just kind of let them talk for hours, right? Or like not bringing enough food, stuff like that. And so I hope I answered your question.
You did so much, and
I forgot
it's
what it was.
just tell me the story. I feel,
Okay.
yeah. So I love, like, so how can you get, can you tell me more about the working with the students and bringing the executive function skills into Circle Match? Like, has that changed your Circle Match experience, I mean, your Lizette's experience, but also like how has that impacted Circle Match as an organization?
Okay. I think what happens is when you talk, when I love the language of executive function skills because it takes away shame, right?
That's
You're no
huge.
longer, I started noticing that whenever I send a message before I started teaching executive function skills to them, when I sent the message, when they would finally answer, the message started with, I'm sorry, right? Oh my God, I'm so sorry, whatever. And like they're ashamed, and you could tell, like they probably typed it, deleted it, right?
They probably waited to send it because they were worried to send it.
Right. Maybe they send it at night while I'm sleeping, and I, you know, blah, blah, blah. So all these thoughts go into it. And so that's the first thing. I needed to eliminate shame, right? Because I wanted to build a real relationship with these people. Because at the end of the day, like real service is when you do for people who can't do back for you, right? And so I never want them to feel like they're indebted to me or they owe me something. Like I'm doing this because I'm doing for people, and I'm creating a program for people because this is the program that I needed when I was younger. And so selfishly, when they get into a great college or when they're successful, I feel like I got into that college and I'm successful, right? So I help them with time management. I help them with planning out what their schedule is going to look like in the summer when they're here. Some of them I offer like an internship with Chi Spa in the summer if they want to learn a little bit on I kind of make sure that they do duties like time management kind of things that would help like a college student. So this year I'm going to work with someone that can help me with like my Instagram. I'm going to have her create some posts for me, but I want to see like what's trend. Like I'm going to give her homework so she can figure out things that are going to help her specifically, but she doesn't know why I'm giving her that.
That's really cool.
Yeah, like time management strategies for college students, for instance. And then we'll talk about like maybe what to do if they're going to go on vacation, if they want to plan an internship, whatever, stuff like that. The other thing I focus on is prioritizing. That is huge for my juniors, my seniors, because this is what happens. These kids, they want to like live their best life, right? Like COVID seriously screwed everybody. Okay. Like they feel like they've just like lost so many things. Some kids didn't get to go to a prom, right? Some kids didn't get to graduate. It was awful, so many things. And so they don't want to miss out on anything. And so you have kids that sometimes like they have to edit an essay. And it's like they're still at, you know, track practice and they're like 5 days a week. And I'm like, dude, are you gonna be in the Olympics? Like, what's happening? Like your essay, like tell your coach that you can't go 5 days this week because if you don't do this essay, like you're not gonna finish the application for college. And then what's gonna happen when you don't get into the college? Right? And so I teach them to prioritize. And to see like what's so we do like the what is it the rocks and the glass study.
Big rocks.
Yeah. And so what happens when you do that? So we do a lot of little learning
That's
activities.
really great.
Yeah, I have these, I call them come to Jesus meetings with them.
it.
Yeah, I'm like, no bueno, man. What's happening?
What's happening?
Yeah. So you know, if Lizette's calling you at 11 o'clock at night at on a Tuesday, get the phone,
Very
right?
funny. So what kind of reception and experience have you had with the parents? If culturally they haven't been exposed to the, I mean, regardless of your culture, I think a lot of people have not grown up knowing what executive function skills are. But then plus then you add that in to cultural expectations and just priorities. How has that impacted you as a person and Circle Match?
Well, what I love is that there's something about the, you know, I call it mi gente, my people, right? That just like across the board, the fact that I talk to them straight up and I'm like, listen, this program is free for you. You're not paying a dollar. I'm raising your kids with executive function skills. And then I get, and I listen, and I'm probably older than you too, and I'm raising you too. And you have to do this and do this and do that. And so you have to lead by example. And so the fact is when I pick up my hair and put on my gangster ponytail, and I'm like, listen to me. These kids have to listen. They just kind of sit back and they're like, Lizette, you do what you got to do. I'm like, I give you results. Everything I do is completely transparent. Everything is very respectful. There is no shame because you're not a bad person. You just don't have skills. And so I make people really think like, so like kind of like take out of their get their head out of their fantasy land and say, so what do you want to be when you grow up? Okay, you want to be a doctor? Okay, what kind of doctor? I don't know, a veterinarian. Okay, so great. Have you worked with animals before? No. So how do you know you want to be one? Oh, I like dogs. I'm like, that's good. Are you gonna work with cats as well? Like, have you thought about maybe looking for like shelters that you can go and help in, or like what do you do? So people procrastinate because they have a story in their head and they think they have things figured out, but they haven't really unpacked things. Like, do you, if you're a veterinarian, do you realize that if you want to wear Gucci all day, you can't, you're gonna smell bad? Like, look at everything that you want. Like, where do you want to live? Right? If you like, do you want to live in a farm? Do you want to live like in the city? Do you want to like, if you want going to be a doctor, do you realize how many hours you have to put into your job? Right? Do you want to have a lot of kids? So all of these questions that they're never asked, that they don't really
And
contemplate.
who would know? They might not even know to ask.
Right? Right. And parents never went to school in this country. And if they did, maybe they went to like maybe a community college, you know, took a couple of courses. Very, very few parents speak English. So I
That's
have to say to
huge.
them, listen, it's first of all, the fact that you have a child that is so self-disciplined to do so well in school, that has applied to our program and that got accepted and that had the wherewithal to want to apply to do all of the essays. I mean, it's very complicated to apply, and we do it that way. It's like a mini college application.
Is it like a filtering process,
Of
right?
course. And the fact that they, and they get personalized feedback, each person that applies, and the fact that they want to do that and that they care, even though they don't have to care, because the parents don't know, like they're not on top of them. They don't know. They think they're studying, but they don't know. So if you have that type of a child that really wants to at this young age, because we all know executive function skills don't fully mature till at least 25 years old, right? And if you have ADHD, you're 30% behind the eight ball like everybody else. So instead of 25, it's like what, like 32, 33, right? And so these kids, they don't know how to navigate at all. And so the parents have to serve as their surrogate frontal lobes, whether they speak English, Spanish. I mean, this year we have a lot of Chinese parents, right? And they have to, in any way that they can, even if it's setting up organizational systems in their house, right? With like pictures, like knowing, hey, on the weekends, you got to do laundry, you have to do whatever, like get them ready and make them check off a list. Everybody has a system. They just have to make sure they take the time to create the right system that is, culturally responsible for them and that works for like their family and their timeline. And so I think that the reception has been, they love the order. They love like that I joke with them a lot, so they know that they're not being embarrassed or like made fun of because they can't pronounce the words in English, or less than because they don't have a degree. I tell them, I said, listen, my dad was a very successful entrepreneur, but he had to leave everything in Cuba. He couldn't come back without, he couldn't even bring his wedding band with him. And he only had like a fifth grade education. My mom became a teacher in Cuba, but guess what? She never taught here. She never learned English. She just raised kids and went to work in a factory. Like, but the bottom line is that they went to work and they went to try to support their children, right? And that's what these parents are doing. And they have a lot of courage. And in the society that we live nowadays, it really stinks because there are a lot of people that were born here, but they don't have the drive. But just because they have the paperwork that they were born here, they get opportunities that not everybody else gets. And so the fact that these people are trying hard, I have to do my best, knowing that while my turn is here in Earth, right, I have to lead by example. And I'm privileged. I got to go to college here, right? I do speak English. I speak Spanish. My child got into an elite college. But what if he wouldn't have? Would people consider him to be less smart because he didn't get into Yale, right? No, it's because the society would. But the fact is that he didn't have the tools. He didn't have the right, people guiding him, unless since I went to that college advising agency, he did. But what if that wasn't the case? I wouldn't have been able to get him in. And I was a teacher.
And it takes like just as you're talking, I'm thinking about how many executive function skills are involved in that awareness and that commitment and that deep, like all of every single step that is involved along the way. And if you just don't know, like we said before, you don't know what you don't know. And so it takes some kind of metacognitive thinking, some kind of flexible thinking to say, wait a second, I wonder if things could be different. How could they be different? And what could I do? Who could I ask? And is it okay that I ask? Is it okay that I want this for myself or for my kid? So that it's so great that you guys are providing that welcoming, accepting place where you knowledge is power, and where you are giving people that knowledge, and then they are getting the power because of it.
Yeah, and it was, I gotta tell you, thank you. I gotta tell you, and it's so difficult to like navigate the landscape when your child gets in there, right? So here I was, Michael, first year at Yale. So we had to go to some ceremony, right, that the head of the school was giving afterward, or the ceremony, like the opening ceremony to start college, right? Schools are beautiful. They all look like churches, and you have a lot of fancy people that go there and
So
legacy
fancy.
and stuff. Yeah, so fancy. And I was like, oh my God, like I didn't even know. I didn't even want to go there. I just want to sit in the car. And then when they gave like the reception that you got to sit there and or just like walk around and shake the hand of like, the dean of a certain college that he went to. I didn't. The only person that I spoke to or the guy was the guy who was cleaning the tables. I was embarrassed. I didn't feel like I was enough. I felt like, what if the guy noticed my accent? It's embarrassing. So like as a mom, and I was educated here, can you imagine how these other moms feel? That they have a bunch of other kids, that they don't have the right clothes, that they don't know how to really speak and say thank you. They feel like clowns. So how could I not do this work? How could I not do it? It's mission work. Like executive function work is mission work. Because, you are raising not just your kids, you're raising everybody else's kids because they have to live with your kids, And it's a lot. It's a lot because even if they get into the college, it's not enough. It's not enough because they don't have the experiences from summer camp. They haven't visited like Machu Picchu to know what it's like, right? When kids like study, they get to like actually go there. They haven't had that help. And so there's nobody to help them. Who helps them? Like all these schools have so many counselors, like and so many students, but not enough counselors. Like the high school that my son went to, Memorial High School in West New York, has about 2,400 students in it. And they have, I want to say, like six guidance counselors for the whole school. Yeah. And two of them are just for freshmen. And then they have a lot of bilingual, and they have a counselor that's only for special education. So how do students that are high achieving get into these colleges? The system is rigged. They can't,
I can't.
unless they have $10,000, $20,000 to go to a college advising agency and pay, and then possibly get into an elite college, a top 25,
And then survive going and
and then
being there.
survive, yeah, and then not having money to like fly home, right? Or what to do in the summer. What do? You got to go work instead of like kind of like, it's very vigorous to go to those schools. Like a lot of people get like checked out, like their brain just like fries. They're exhausted. They work so hard. But some of these kids, they have to keep working, working, working all year round. And they still, at the end of the day, they don't really have that kind of like connection of like where to work, right? What's their legacy? They don't have one. So Circle Match gives them that legacy.
That's great. And a feeling of belonging, which we know is so important.
100%.
So where do you see Circle Match going? Where do you see Chispa going?
Well, now that you ask, I have ADHD, so you know me. Like, I want to go on a rocket to Mars. Okay,
You're
so,
gonna like sponsor the next
oh my
rocket.
God. Yeah. I want, okay, first of all, with Chispa, what I love about Chispa is Chispa means spark, right? Like, we spark skills, like ignite. I want it to be kind of glamorous when someone has ADHD or attention disorder. Like, I love the whole thing of like neural spicy. And the fact that like we're really funny and we're like really quick
Oh, fun.
and like people love us. Like, even if we're cranky, we're just like cute, you know? Okay, even if we're 100 years old, like,
Have you seen Penny Bell? Do you follow her on Instagram?
no.
Oh, you gotta follow her because she does these little things like 6 ways that ADHD people are so cute or so
Yeah.
funny or so entertaining. Yeah.
Yeah, like, and we're like promoters that we like promote. Like, if you,
Connectors.
oh my God, like, if I love something, I have this pen that I can't stop using. I think I've sold like 10 of them to people. I have nothing to do with the pen. I'm just like, I'm like obsessed, like whatever, you know? So yeah, so I'm writing a book. I'm writing a kid's book on executive function.
Nice.
The story is on planning, really poor planning done by a hippo and his best friend, who is a squirrel. He is an executive function squirrel,
So
and
wait a second. So the hippo must have really good impulse control because
oh
he
my
probably
God.
wouldn't like eat the squirrel normally, right?
Well, no, this hippo has serious rejection sensitive dysphoria.
Oh.
And so, like, and he's super conceited. Like, he thinks he's got it all figured out. He's like planning this very fancy soiree, and it's going to be a boat party, and he's going to have fancy food and fancy clothes and fancy music. And when Squirrel goes to visit him, because Squirrel's going to be part of the, you know, the squirrel's more, he's a relaxed executive function squirrel.
Oh, okay.
So when he gets there to like see everything that's happening, because the party's at night, and he just excused himself because he's just RSVPing at the last minute, as opposed to giving Hippo enough time, he learns that Hippo has nothing figured out and that the party is in a couple of hours. And Hippo just kind of goes in his ups and downs, like we all, like I do, of thinking I have it all figured out and then not. So it's kind of like an introspective story of stuff
Nice.
that happened,
I love
with
it.
actually circle match with the parties that I planned, the yearly student benefit dinners. I think I have all this figured out, and all of a sudden, the only thing that's done are the fancy invitations. Yeah. So I have that coming up. And then for circle match, we are going to be expanding to 3 more schools.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
exciting.
And we're looking to possibly expand to another one in California. We're
Wow.
in
So how many
Brooklyn.
schools are you in now?
Right now, I think we're like in six
Wow, that's so
schools.
great.
Yeah. And I'm writing a curriculum as the director of curriculum, so I can give it to different people who are going to work the community role, whether it be a parent or someone from school, be a community liaison or an alumni lead. So we have a lot of help and stuff coming up
That's really
with the
exciting.
community portion of Circle Match.
So,
So
where your schools are in New Jersey, there must be, I mean, you're in New Jersey, so there's one in New Jersey, California.
yeah, we have a few in New Jersey, we have in California, and we have in Brooklyn, New York.
Wow, that's really
Yep.
cool. So,
Mm-hmm.
are you looking to expand?
We're looking to expand. We're going to be, like I said, more schools in New Jersey, and we're in the process of adding more people to our board of directors, just expanding to more schools, because now, since we are already at 6 schools, we're having a lot more like students that can pay it forward. In the very beginning when we started, it was difficult to navigate, like I said, with the executive function pieces that were missing, because the kids had so much to navigate once they got to college, and it was hard for them to know how to create enough time to be advisors and be able to like advise the upcoming college students, right, the seniors. And so now it's a lot easier for them once, now that this is in place and our organization is a lot more, formed.
Yeah, well, you've learned a lot, I'm sure, over the years, and yeah, what
Yeah.
works and what doesn't work. So, if someone listening is interested in getting involved, either make a donation or maybe bring it to their school, should they go to the website or reach out to you?
Yeah, they can go to the website, which is circlematch.org. I'll give it to you so you could put it in the show notes.
I will.
Yeah, and they could find out more there. They can go to our Instagram again, circlematch.org. We have resources also for the community. So we have like speakers, college speakers panel. And so what we do is twice a year, we'll get a student. This is, look how cool this is. We get a current student from each Ivy League school
Ah,
be on a call at
that's
the same
so cool.
time. And so what we do is we create breakout rooms, right? And
Ah.
so we kind of like switch them around, and every, you know, you get, if when you're in a breakout room, you may get 10 minutes with a couple of students and with this college student. You can ask them anything. Like, hey, what's it
That's
like to
so
get this?
cool.
Because if you ask someone that works at the college, they're, you know, not that they're going to lie to you, but they want you to go there. These people, you can ask about anything. And then we also have students from top tier colleges, because they just don't go to, you know, we've had, I gotta brag a little bit.
Yeah, please brag all you want.
96% of our students have been accepted to top 25 universities.
Dang.
Yeah. So everything from like Vanderbilt,
That's
Middlebury,
so cool. Wow. You have
that way,
bragging rights. You have bragging
Emory.
rights.
Yeah. And we also have 31% of our students have been accepted to Ivy League schools. And
Wow.
there is about a 3% acceptance rate.
That's pretty impressive.
And right as of now, because this school year isn't over yet, right? But as of right now, and I know that this number is going to go up, but as of right now, 70% of our students have come back and paid it forward. And
Oh,
that's a
that's
huge,
amazing. That's wonderful. That really speaks to the importance of that community for them. They believe in it.
100%.
I was just reading about how, and this is something I've noticed. So I mostly coach college students, and something that I have noticed is that when the college students that I've worked with that have done end up really doing the best and really thriving is when they are busy and when they're really involved. And so I love hearing that they are getting involved, with Circle Match while they're in college, because they are part of a community. Have a feeling of belonging. Their effort has meaning, which is a huge outcome, a predictor of a high of how have like good outcomes is when what you do is meaningful. So, I love to hear that.
And
That's
they're
really great.
happy and they're good. They
Yeah,
are such
I'm
solid.
sure. I'm sure.
So, and what happens is that it's like everybody has an accountability buddy, and they don't get lost. Like
And they're not alone. They don't feel alone.
they're never alone.
Oh, I love that. That's really great. How wonderful. I want to volunteer for you. How far away from me are you? How long do
I'll be in your house in 20 minutes. Yeah. Well,
Great.
we're in New Jersey, but we do a lot of stuff like online and kind of like there's always something. Everybody can always give something. Like everyone has something, and don't ever think that just because you didn't go to college, an executive function specialist, you don't speak English, you don't speak Spanish, it doesn't matter. We're all human, and we're all from the same fabric. And as long as our hearts are in the right place, there's always something we could do.
I love that. Oh, well, thank you so much, Lizette. This conversation has brought me from laughing to crying, and I just couldn't have asked for more.
Thank you so much for having me, and you know, for your podcast. All of the guests that you have on are so interesting, and I learn a lot too. So thank you for
I'm
doing
so
this.
glad. And Lizette and I got to meet on Wednesday night, which was so cool. It's always so neat to meet people in real life. I was doing a presentation about executive function skills in college students, and Lizette came with her sister and joined the audience. And it was just so great to meet you in person. And how wonderful that now, 2 days later, we get to record
Yeah, oh
together.
my God, what are we doing next week?
I know,
Love.
right? Such perfect timing. All right. Well, thank you so much again, Lizette.
Welcome. Thank you.
And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen. My main takeaway from today's conversation with Lizette is that executive function skills are not just about productivity. I mean, we know this already, but Lizette's story really shows that they're actually about power, access, and equity. When everyone has access to learning EF tools and strategies, we aren't just helping students succeed, we're helping them lead and pass on their knowledge to others, just as Lizette is doing. Please be sure to check the show notes for links to Circle Match so you can learn more about the good work they're doing for high school students. Thank you so much for sharing Focus Forward, which helps us spread the word about those that big power of executive function skills. Word of mouth keeps us on the air, so please keep sharing the podcast with your networks. We love you for it. Thank you. And don't forget to rate us wherever you listen. And if you leave a written review on Apple, it really makes a big difference for us. I don't understand the algorithm, but apparently that makes a big difference. So hop on over there and leave us a review. Thank you. You can sign up for our subscriber email at beyondbooksmart.com/podcast. And a million thanks to Sean Potts, my editor and producer, and to Lizette Cuervo for being a rock star and reaching out. Thanks for listening.